Good morning. My name is Raul Galeo. The show is Wake Up West Marin. My guest has the world's largest continuous database on crop circles. He coined the term, and he's been researching crop circles since 1983. What are they and what's the controversy? Well, let's find out. Welcome, researcher, author Colin Andrews, and thank you so much for joining us today on Wake Up West Marin.
Well, good morning, Raul. It's good to be with you. Thank you.
I think we need to start. What are crop circles?
Well, crop circles, as you rightly said, is a term that I coined right back in the mid-80s, and they were then, and I say were because this kind of a, they've evolved, but right back then, these were circular areas, usually really just about that, plain circles, sometimes with single and double rings around them, in which the vegetation, usually cereal crops, were bent over evenly, about 3/4 of an inch above ground level, and spiraled, usually in one direction, but they could be clockwise or counterclockwise, with the rings again in either direction. But over time, the term really didn't and doesn't now do them credit, because the phenomena has evolved into very intricate patterns appearing in just about all kinds of vegetation and just about in every country. So that's what they are.
What's the controversy then?
Well, the controversy really, it's right from the very start, has been, are they real or are they man-made? And when myself, Pat Delgado, Dr. Terence Meaden, and a pilot called Bussy Taylor, just the four of us, began researching them, we didn't know either, of course. And we were, I'm an electrical engineer myself, when we're working then for regional government in Great Britain, started to look at the data, traveled extensively to look at them firsthand, and now with several thousand under my belt, the question has remained, are we looking at something real or not? And the controversy is that during 1990, two elderly men stepped forward and said that they had made most of, I think their claim actually was all, of the crop circles. Well, evidence we had then, you know, I was advising the Prime Minister, Margaret Thatcher, and the Queen and others, during some of that time, we had ample evidence that they were certainly not all made by people. And that pretty well stands. During 1999 and 2000, kind of jumping forward a little bit now, I was funded for a period of time, that two-year period, by Lawrence Rockefeller in New York. in New York. And during that time, he funded an undercover operation to look extensively and in a focused fashion on those that we believed were made by people, and basically to prove just that. And the outcome of it, in conclusion to answering your question, was that 20% during the two-year period in Great Britain, which is where most of them are appearing, the vast majority, 20%, we could not find any evidence of people making them, which did, of course, leave 80%, this is a rounded-off figure, 80% that were definitely made by people. So the controversy is that.
What size are we talking about when we're speaking of crop circles?
We're looking at the very, very smallest we've ever seen, and usually from aerial surveillance photographs, these are picked up, the very small ones, then those really can be down to about 18 inches across. I mean, these are very small, not much larger than a football and a half. The very largest is more than a football field. We're looking at many acres of land taken up, flattened into geometric designs, usually appearing in a very short period of time, which is one of the most challenging aspects of verifying the authenticity, you might say, of these larger designs. You know, something in the region of 700 or 800 feet across, with multiple 600 and 700 individual circles constructing, forming an overall complex design, and appearing in the best evidence that we have, usually in a window of certainly less than a minute, So it's become a very difficult situation, but I personally feel that the wrong question is being asked at this point. This is really 30 years now down the road, as far as I'm personally concerned.
And I will ask you about the wrong questions being asked, but first we have to establish certain things, because there's a lot of misperception, yeah, it seems, about crop circles. You say that they appear in a short amount of time. What are we referring to here?
What we're referring to, I was asked, this would be the late 80s, I was asked to present to a select group at the United Nations those circles that people had claimed to have actually seen form. So we're looking at eyewitnesses, and there's a multitude of disciplines of people that have claimed to have seen them form in various countries. And the one thing that they all agree on, they do not agree on all features and all aspects of their report, but the one thing that they do all agree on is that in less than 15 seconds, they have seen crop circles form. And so, you know, that's a very brief window for a complex array or a geometry to flatten what amounts to many thousands of living plants.
Now, Colin, when you're talking about looking into the evidence, whether these crop circles were man-made or not, what is that evidence, or how did you go about verifying that information?
Well, it started as a very basic, as I say, I'm an engineer myself. I was working with a NASA electromechanical design engineer, a meteorologist, and a pilot. And the four of us were really just looking at very basic detective work. And indeed, we engaged private detectives and retired police officers to assist us for a period of time on this. So we were looking at are there tracks in and out of the designs? Is the soil compressed, or is it not where it should be? Are there changes at the cellular anatomic level in the plants? What about the magnetic field, the Earth's magnetic field, radiation, etc., etc.? So we engaged over time a whole series of scientists and engineers to look at the raw data. And what we found, this sounds very counterintuitive, but the more simple the designs, the more likely they were to be real, in the sense that we could not find tracks in or out. There were changes at the cellular anatomic level, and the Earth's magnetic field within those geometries were increased by approximately 300% over the normal that we would expect to give us from the Earth's magnetic field itself and from the sun. And I could go on, damage or not to the plants themselves, compression to the soil or not. And they were separated in that way. Those that were more complex did have damage, did have signs of the tools that were used to construct them. But this were unfortunately, as I guess most studies of this nature that are complex and very controversial and very limited resources and professional expertise applied to them, we still finished up with a dilemma here. And the dilemma was that whilst most of the complex designs showed all the signs of being made by people, and that pretty well verified by that 2-year investigation, they were not all. We have still to this day one of the designs I think that we might talk about in this interview, that perhaps towards the tail end of our discussion, is a design which is highly complex. It showed none of the signs of being made by people, and it has given us a very specific and important date in the alignment of the planets in our solar system. And so that's highly complex, looked at by the very top people in their profession. And to this day, which is now, 16 years ago, this particular design showed up that seemed to give us an indicator of what might be going on. We cannot say that this was made by people. We're still hang our hat on the fact, with a great deal of publicity. I mean, I've done a lot of television and radio programs on this, and indeed books too. We've done documentaries on it, that this particular design is important. Nobody has ever claimed it. and it shows the best science we can throw at it that it's real.
Colin Anders, how did you get involved in this? How did you, what occurred that you decided crop circles were your specialty or would become your specialty?
Well, that's a great question because, of course, I had never heard of crop circles and the term hadn't even been coined. When I was a senior official in regional government on my way to a meeting, just a very normal average day, I had a number of people waiting for me about 30 miles away in an office, and I was on my way there. And I was driving alone. I was on high ground. It was just a flinching glance, half a second. I mean, movies are made of this stuff. It was half a second that changed my life, literally, and my country and my marriage and a lot of other things. I looked to the left, and I saw a set of five circles in a cereal crop, wheat field, forming a cross about 300 or 400 feet in a valley below the level of my my vehicle. I'm sorry. I will just pull this for you. I apologize.
That's perfectly all right. I'm speaking with United Kingdom electrical engineer, researcher, author Colin Anders. He's actually speaking to us from Connecticut this morning. Okay, as you were saying,
yes,
please.
Yes, I apologize.
No sweat.
I literally, that's what happens live, isn't it? I was looking down into this wheat field, and I saw the set of five circles forming across. I stopped my vehicle. I was considerably late for my meeting. And I made my way into it, into the field, which took about 20 minutes. And I can assure anybody and everybody, and have done many times since, there were no tracks whatsoever into that virgin field of wheat. And it was awe-inspiring. When I reached the first of the five circles, there was no damage whatsoever, and I recall vividly to this day that many of the plants in the thousands that had been absolutely exquisitely flattened in the spiral in front of me were actually moving. These were plants that were kind of appeared to be slightly woven into their position, and the sun was out, it was a sunny day, and it gave me very much the impression, I guess the engineer in me immediately goes into questioning what I'm looking at, and these plants were kind of popping, trying to lift themselves back up to where they should be, and it gave me the impression that this had not only just happened, but that it was... they had been artificially, of course, put in position and were attempting to return to their normal natural position. And I was witnessing it. And it basically did change my life right there, because I could not let go of trying to resolve what had happened in that farmer's field.
Someone just asked me how long these crop circles last on average. I would assume that we're just talking seasonal.
Yes, we are. If they were not harvested, the question is, I don't know what the answer is, that how long they would actually remain there with the plants dying rather than being harvested. As it has stood now for all of these years, and almost all of them are in cereal crops, and all the time the farmer leaves them there, of course, they remain in position. But they will, of course, at the end of the season, the plants will die, but they're usually harvested. So they're there for no more than 3 or 4 months if they appear early in the season, and they're harvested in the northern hemisphere, you know, by September. And then, of course, they're gone, and they're eaten, basically. Most of it finishes up in the bread or in the beer of one sort or another. They're wheat, barley, oats.
Well, let me stop you there.
Yeah.
If we're talking, and certainly I'm projecting here that the implication is that it's coming from above the ground that these crop circles are appearing, the soil composition would be changed. I believe you've said the electromagnetic field has changed. Therefore, even if it's tilled under, the field would never remain, well, organic prior to any kind of disturbance, if you understand what I'm saying.
Well, what we see physically happens is that, I'll give you an example here. If we'll talk of a simple circle, appears in a wheat field, The cycle that the agricultural cycle that usually takes place is three cereal crops, and then they'll leave the field vacant for 18 months, 2 years, 3 years. The different circumstances, apply to this. But in other words, there is a cycle, and then they will plant that field again, having let it basically build its nutritional value back up with a different cereal crop. So the next time will be barley, and so on. But what will happen is that we will often find the remnants of a previous year's circle because, as a ghost, you might say, ghost design of what had been there a year or so before, because the seeds from the previous planting, that is the first year the circle appeared as wheat, then germinates in the ground in amongst barley seeds that have been planted in following years. And so the differentiation between the color of those two species of plants is picked up and is seen as a ghost design of what had appeared in a previous seeding. We don't actually find, and I'm sure being on air now, if there are other scientists that have looked at this over the years that would counter what I say, I'd be happy to know too. But I've worked with many biologists and experts on this, and it's still to this day, as far as I know, has not altered the actual quality in any way of the soil itself. The plants themselves are changed. They are altered during the actual process, presumably the construction phase, in that 15 seconds or so. They are changed at the cellular level, and they do, some of them, produce what they call nodal explosive holes that are expulsion cavities in the plants themselves, which would seem, and I'm not the expert here, as far as a biologist is concerned, but I am told that indicates that the internal moisture of those plants has increased in temperature very quickly, probably in that 15-second window, and has actually created an explosive force that has had to be released from the plants, leaving very small holes, these expulsion cavities.
I'm speaking with researcher, author, electrical engineer Colin Andrews. We're discussing crop circles at this moment. So what are some of the questions that aren't being asked that you certainly believe need to be addressed?
Well, I think the key one, it took me a long time to get to this. I think it naturally from the beginning was, are they real? And if they are real, where or who or how are they being formed? Really now, the last 10 or 12 years, I've honed my own research into human consciousness. And the reason that I did that was that our small research team had a number of, you might say, paranormal experiences surrounding this research. And when I heard the same kinds of experiences, phenomenon, occurring to people that had made some of them, this 80% grouping that were made by people, I had not spoken to the people making them. And I will hold my hand up as being responsible for that. I mean, these were basically people, in my mind, that were deceiving us. And so I wanted no part of that. But it was when I started to listen to what they said that they were as baffled as we were, not in the creation of the designs, but what was happening to them surrounding their creation of a crop design. And that began to me to ring true that this truly was a much wider phenomenon. In other words, if we were to understand what was happening to humanity across the wide gambit of crop circles, those that were mysterious and are mysterious, and also those that were made by people, there are a common denominator here, which we would not have seen had we not researched people making them. And the common denominator is that something is reading or is influencing the mind of the people, that is, the researchers and people making them and the public bystander, are having experiences which can only be related to in terms of an intelligence, a conscious knowing of your mind. It could even be that what we might call an urge to do something, a kind of a psychic a feeling, a message, you might say, to do this or that, to make this particular design in this particular field, is now, to be honest with you, there are way too many examples of exactly that happening to ignore it. It's not an easy one for the media in particular. I say this with respect to you, of course, and your program, but I've done a lot of television documentaries on all the major networks in this country and many other countries, and this is not one that mainstream media is going to get a hold of anytime soon.
Colin, let me stop you right there. To assist you on this,
yes.
To both assist and, with all due respect, kind of to challenge, if I walk across the Golden Gate Bridge, there's a different feeling that I have. I'm looking down. Maybe I'm feeling like jumping. Maybe I'm imagining jumping. If I go into a labyrinth that I have entered, there's a different opportunity, rather, an opportunity for a mental difference. My understanding when it comes to crop circles, on the other hand, based on a documentary that I just recently saw, there was actually a metabolic change within each person's physical composition, whether it was an electric magnetic field or whether it was the readings within the person, if various medical readings were being taken. That my understanding is that's one of the things that you're addressing here.
I think you're right. Yes, it is that. In fact, that's a succinct way of coming to this. I think what we don't know, we still don't know. We're really at the leading edge of understanding how the human body works when it comes to emotional reactions. So an emotional state conjures an electrochemical response by the body itself. You know, like love is a very different a chemical response within the body than anger, of course. And so I think we could nail it by saying that we are, in some states of mind, the creators of our own universe. And where it becomes difficult to tie these different approaches together, I'll give you one example, Royal, and I think this will kind of show you exactly where I'm coming from with one example, but there are many. This is an actual example I'm giving you of 1999. A person we had to trace now and have spoken with was conducting a meditation in a field in central southern England. Now, this is in one field, in one part of a very large planet. And so the meditation is going on, and they did not pre-plan any particular sequence to this meditation. It was to be a pleasant evening. And they were meditating. They decided there on the spot that they would meditate upon a particular design, which was a flower of life design. And in the meditation, they asked for it to appear. Well, that's not unusual. I mean, I've heard of it many times over. Well, at that time, this was not known by that group, nor me, and nor the person I'm about to refer to. A person who was making crop circles had a sudden urge, just after 10 o'clock that particular evening, to go and make one. Now, he had to plan, of course, how he was going to do this. It was alone. He was going to do it alone. And he decided on urge, and I will call it that. It's a word that we hear a lot of these days in this study. He had an urge to make a design that came into his head, which, of course, was the flower of life. And he set out from his home. His vehicle basically nosed him to where he went. He had no pre-plan of that either, and finished up putting exactly that pattern in the field in which the meditation was actually taking place. And when these two people came together, which was some days later, the meditating group, told the guy there was this amazing occurrence happened in the field, and he said, "Yes, I made it." Now, this is not unique, but it's staggering. I mean, this is winning the lotto many times over.
Colin, I knew we were going to run out of time, and time is running short for such an interesting subject here. So let me throw a few zingers at you. Have you put animals inside these circles to see what happens to them, and studied them and had any kind of, well, apparatus attached to them to watch how their metabolic system changes?
Well, the first part is, yes, we have. I've had my own pets in these circles, but we have not wired them. That has not happened. It likely should happen. We've had people wired up with brain detectors, you know, kind of a specialized equipment, and that for perhaps for another discussion. But the effect upon many of the animals is they want to leave. They feel agitated. They actually become agitated before they reach the circle itself. And their feeling is, we've had some that will actually vomit. I mean, they have a real physiological reaction to the energies, presumably, that exist.
Do you believe there's a government cover-up? And if so, how does that serve the government or serve us?
There's another kind of an hour together on that one. I have written a book called Government Circles, and it was challenging the British government because I was part of that system. Remember, I advised the Margaret Thatcher cabinet and the Queen on this subject. And when I heard in Parliament the fact that they were distancing themselves officially, and in fact, I've got to be blunt, telling lies to the public that I was aware were very different. Those reports were my reports. When they were saying that they were not involved in any level, I had their photographs. And so the answer to you, a very brief answer to your question, is yes, there has been a cover-up.
How does it serve them?
That's also a very good question. I think it gives them time. That's all it does. We're currently involved in something that I also have had a finger in, is the release of UFO documents from the British government. We're in phase three now. A number of other countries have done the same. New Zealand just yesterday. Other countries are releasing these documents, and there is a perceived connection between the UFO subject in part and the crop circle phenomenon. I think as far as the United States is concerned, again, I have been involved at a reasonably high level in some of that topic. They are in possession of certain data related to the UFO subject, which has given them a military advantage and other advantages too. And I think they're buying time as the time in our world is changing dramatically. We are looking at transitions now that the government will have no control over. And indeed, we're in some ways in a kind of a meltdown into a new period of time. And I think then the hand they play will be very different to that it has played the last 50 or 60 years related to the UFO, and in the last 30 years, the crop circle phenomenon too.
And when you're referring to UFOs, it sounds to me as if, and I could certainly appreciate a government wanting to pull back from anyone who talks about UFOs, saying this, you know, projecting that, presenting you as a nut and saying, okay, we don't need to deal with this person. I'm sure you can also appreciate that.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So I don't need to go there. On the other hand, by you even bringing up UFOs, you're implying here that there is intelligent life comparable, if not superior, to ours, and beings that are capable of creating, well, spaceships or some sort of vehicles to move around and thereby create these crop circles.
Oh, absolutely. I used to be way more shy about using the term than I am these days. I've spent time with people that you will know. I will just throw one name out there, Colonel Philip Corso, who was a military advisor to President Eisenhower. He was based in the White House. I've spent considerable time with him, and I have information of the National Security Agency's involvement in this subject that I have no question and no doubts whatsoever. It's not that they exist, but they live, they are here amongst us. I don't know how many moments we've got left. I could give you a very quick account of an event that happened in
very quick.
Last
Go for
year.
It. Go for
okay,
it.
Very quickly, a police sergeant in central southern England, close to an archaeological site, Silbury Hill, on his way home from his station early hours of the morning of July last year, witnessed three tall beings. This is a police sergeant who is responsible for putting people in prison based upon his word, his testimony, saw three tall beings of kinds that I've other eyewitness accounts in a field with a Mayan headdress design, a crop design of a very complex kind. I won't have time here now to give you the interactions and the details, but this is a very well-documented experience from a ranking police officer, a very credible person who is still in the ranks, and the police are trying to hold off official statements, but it is still an investigation currently underway. And so there's no doubt whatsoever in my mind, whatever it makes me look like, I come from a credible background, but, you know, speaking about things that a lot of other people find, you know, nerve-wracking or unstabilizing, puts you into that class. I understand it, but we don't get anywhere by speaking, lies or deceptions or just trying to kind of fluff things over. I think that's where we are. You know, we're living in the changing times, and the things that you and I have been speaking about in the last few minutes are part of a new period of time we're moving into. We're on our way somewhere. That's what it amounts to.
Colin Andrews, I'd love to have you back. I'm really sorry that we've run out of time, and I understand that you've got a book or co-authored a book on the Mayan calendar. If that's something that you would like to speak of, I'd love you. I invite you to contact me again so we can set up a revisit here. Very quickly, itinerary, anything that comes to mind, or would you like to just address, have people visit your website?
Well, yes, that would be the best way. Certainly, I'm doing it's called the Wake Up Now, very similar to your program here, Wake Up Now conference in Albuquerque, 29th of April to the 1st of May. But all of the materials and the books and all the rest that I'm involved with are on colinandrews.net, my website. And I do thank you for the opportunity this morning in talking to our friends over there on the other coast.
And thank you. One quick question. I know I keep stretching it, and I don't mean to. Do you think the media is involved in a cover-up as well?
I would doubt it somehow that they're involved in a cover-up per se. They've been engineered, as we all are to some degree, the social networking that we're engineered into. They, like we all, get a little nervous, like I think we had our moment here just when they're talking about the UFO. You know, it's the term that kind of suddenly changes the energy and the dynamic, and the media are just they're the same situation. They feel they to provide a safe escape door when the subject comes up. That's why, of course, it's usually the little laughing line at the end of the news. It's a shame. It's a great shame, because we're not being honest with one another if we don't open up to the realms we don't understand and only feel safe with things that we do.
Very good. Thank you so much for joining us today on Wake Up West Marin, Colin Andrews.
It's my pleasure, Rob.
Bye-bye. The reason we actually... That I went to Crop Circles this morning is the Sonoma International Film Festival is opening this weekend, Thursday, if I'm not mistaken, and there is a film called Crop Circles, a documentary, if you will. And they're going to also have a film on UFOs, followed by a seminar and symposium. If you're interested this weekend and you're available, Sonoma International Film Festival, you want to go online and check into that. All of that covered this coming weekend in Sonoma County. Well, this is KWMR Radio, 90.5 FM in Point Reyes Station, 89.9 Bolinas, and KWMR.org online.